Word of God that is with me to venture with, you will find in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, reading verse 49. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. When I was returning during the day back from the Brighton Bethesda home, I was at one point listening to the news on the radio, and among other things there was an account of that which is going on at the Strangeways jail in Manchester, and they gave a recording of a mother who was crying out as loud as she could, come down, son, come down. A mother of one of those that are in that which has been going on, and according to the news, there are just five of these prisoners that are on a part of the roof of that jail. But I cannot tell you how I felt. I really wept for a few moments before the Lord because of that heart-rending cry from a mother, and I am aware that this, as far as we could judge, would be in a natural way a mother's love to her wayward son. But it was, come down, son. Come down. And, well, the Lord alone knows how that poor mother feels. It may well be that she has long been in distress because of this boy in prison. And yet, if we view these things rightly, dear friends, where should we be? But for the grace of God. And those of us here that have been given, as it were, some little understanding of what there is in our poor hearts, we know this, that the seed, at least I speak for myself for a moment, but we know this, that the seeds of every evil dwell within our hearts. It's all there. We could have been left to any of the dreadful sins that there are. And I'm sure there are those of us here that have known what it is at times in our life to have murder in our hearts. And it's there, you see. Well, I just mention how my thoughts, as it were, commenced regarding this word. And for the rest of the journey home, I was just thinking of the word of God. And there are, if you look into it, you'll see that there are a number of scriptures that speak in this way, come down. Come down. And I can only hope that I have been in this way directed to this word, and my brethren that are here this evening in the ministry will well know this, that we go about, as it were, from day to day in the exercise of the ministry, and as we have services before us, the burden is, Lord, oh, grant us thy word. We cannot go without it, Lord. We must be given it. Sometimes the Lord does this very clearly. Sometimes he brings us to those spots and places where all we can do is just venture. And yet if it's true venturing faith, then the Lord, I believe, honours this. Well, may the Lord then help us to look a little into this subject here. I am aware that this that is spoken of concerning the nobleman's son is that which concerned his body, because he was very ill. And as it says in an earlier verse, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And I know that sometimes the Lord has used this word in a literal sense. I remember, dear friends, telling me years ago now how they had a child that was so ill. And the late Mr. Gascoigne was to preach that evening. I believe it was at Coventry. And the Lord sent the dear man with this very word, "Sir, come down ere my child die." And of course it met the case of those dear parents that were burdened for as they looked upon it as a dying child. And if any of you here tonight, it's not something that one has walked in personally, in a true sense, but any of you that have walked in this, wherein perhaps you've had a dear child that's been very near to death, and the exercise that this brings upon the hearts of parents, especially regarding their never-dying soul, because surely it is this that will burden our hearts more than anything else concerning our children. It's their never dying souls. I have known what it is to sit up with a child that, as far as I could judge, was very poorly, and truly wondered whether the child would live through the night. But that was my own personal feelings in the matter. But any of you that have walked, as it were, in this literally, and have known what it is to perhaps expect such news that the child has died, and you will know how you felt about it. And you will understand in that particular way something of how this nobleman felt. And this is left on record. He was indeed a nobleman. It is thought that he could have been a courtier in the palace, as it were, but whatever it was, he's spoken of as a nobleman, a man of some distinction and position in life. But the dear man was brought, obviously brought, favoured in being brought, to believe that the Lord could heal his son. Well, I leave that part of the subject and seek to come to that which is spiritual. Some of you, I believe, will remember that the subject on Sunday evening was that where we read concerning the Lord Jesus as he left the judgment hall to go to Calvary. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." This then is really the burden that I have once more upon my heart, although it is not something that I have thought up, but it is something that I have been burdened with. And the burden really is one's concern regarding never dying souls. Many of you here tonight have children. And friends, it's with me to remind you that all your children, all my children, our children, they all have a never dying soul. Does it concern us? Is it something that weighs upon our hearts? It is indeed a great favour when parents, as they bring their children to the house of God from the very beginning, they may be favoured to have them with them right through to when they grow up. And that in itself is a favour. Perhaps the Lord would have me remind you, dear parents that are here tonight, what a favour you have, even in this, that you are able, you are willing, you are concerned to bring your children into the house of God. That is indeed a favour. We need to rightly think of this. The families that do come here, and all the while they do come, there is this that we think of. I being in the way, the Lord met with me. And who can tell? And we trust that the Lord will. This is our only hope. Even while they're young, that the Lord might touch their hearts. And so that they may be, in an early life, planted in the house of the Lord. Never, as it were, to leave it until they're taken to the heaven above. And what a favour that is. And some of you here tonight are favoured in this, that you still have your children with you. Some here in this, you have your children and they are grown up and they themselves are married. And yet, to any that are favoured in this, to have their children with them, what a favour it is. What a mercy it is, especially when dear children are brought by sovereign grace, as it were, to choose the better part and want to be in the house of God themselves. And we would be truly thankful whenever the Lord favours in this, and as he does bring even children to consider their ways and to pray from their young heart. And yet I must perhaps remind you, dear friends, even in this, it is indeed a favour to have our children with us in the house of God. But that in itself will never save their soul. Now, do not misunderstand me. That in itself will never save their soul. The grace of God is not hereditary. It is not something that we can pass on to our children. If we were able to do so, well, of course we would. And yet if we were able to do so, we should be lifted up with pride. I feel we would. And so the Lord will teach us that it can only be through sovereign grace or sin abounding. The Lord alone can change the heart, renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill. And some of you here tonight remember such a time in your life. Perhaps most of us here tonight were taken into the house of God from our very early days. Some of us look back over the years and we remember how irksome it was to us. We remember our feelings and how we longed, as it were, for the amen so that we could be released from it. And we have to say, do we not, in this, and such were some of you. But if the Lord has reached our hearts and has brought us to his dear feet, and we've been brought, as it were, to be turned completely round, and then we began to come into the house of God so very differently. I remember having a letter from a dear young person a good many years ago now. And in the letter, among other things, they said this. They were now coming into the house of God so very differently and could say this, but now I have to pray for myself. But now I come with the hope that I shall receive a portion for my soul. You see, the change. They knew there had been a change. They were among those that had been favoured from their childhood. They'd been brought to chapel. But you see, the day came when the Lord changed their heart, renewed their will, and turned their feet to Zion's hill. And then they began to come so very differently. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. So the exercise then is really regarding the souls of our children, the souls of others. I go a step further here, but friends, do we know what it is to be exercised regarding the souls of our children? But more than that, do we know what it is to be exercised regarding the souls of others? What about our neighbours? What about those we come into contact with in our lives? Are we concerned about them? If we think of this town of Eastbourne, and I do not know what the figure is now, but it must be something like 70 to 80,000 people live in this town alone, and every one of them has a never-dying soul. Well, are we exercised in these things? Some while ago on one of our calendars at home, there was this verse, and it really took hold of me. And it was this, Oh, teach me, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. You know, friends, as I read this, it really touched my heart. And yet I had to say, Lord, have I ever really known anything about this? Oh, teach me, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. Do we know anything about it? Are we exercised in it? You see, our children and others, they have never dying souls. It's a very solemn matter. Because after death, the soul leaves the body at death, and it will either be to enter into heaven or into hell. And if we think of the great day of judgment and the resurrection, and we do indeed believe this, that the Lord's people will be raised incorruptible and undefiled, and we are told concerning the body that the Lord will give his dear people, a body like unto his glorious body. We cannot conceive what it will be with our poor finite minds. But friends, do we believe it? Oh, I do believe indeed in the resurrection of the dead, and that they will be raised from death. And in that a solemn dream that Mr. Patterson had, and I've been thinking of it again today, and in that dream, you see, the Lord taught him a very solemn lesson. There were those that he thought, as he looked upon, surely they will go to heaven, but in that dream they didn't. And there were also those that that people would have thought would never go to heaven, but in his dream he saw that they did. And friends, this is what will happen, I'm sure, in that solemn day. But the thing that matters with us is this, surely. How will it be with you and I? How will it be with us? Because we must come to consider this for a moment. That we believe that every person that has lived in this world, their dust will be raised from death, and their souls will be reunited with a body prepared, and it will either be a body prepared for heaven, or it will be a body prepared for hell. Eternity. What poor preacher can ever convey to his hearers what eternity is? I cannot convey it to you. May the Lord even give us just a glimpse of what it means tonight, because it means this: a never, never, never ending eternal state. It will go on forever and ever. Our lives here, however long it might be, whether a few years or many years, but if we think of 100 years, what is that compared to eternity? A never-ending state, an eternal state, which every one of us will enter into, every one of us here. Who then can begin to really estimate the value of our soul? And each one of us has a never-dying soul. It's this that's with me. Think of our children. We cannot help thinking of them. We think of other, those that we know and love. You may have brothers, sisters. You may have those that, as you view them today, they're right out in the world. They're as far from God as sheep can run. And who maketh thee to differ? If it's different with us, who has wrought this? Who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? How is it, if we are different, how is it that we are different? It is because of sovereign grace. It is because of the work of the Holy Ghost within our soul that our poor hearts have been touched and we've been brought to tremble before the majesty of heaven. We've been brought to tremble as sinners in the sight of an holy God. I'm sure there are those here tonight who, in your measure, as I trust it has been with my own soul, but has there not been occasions when the Lord has come to you and he said, "Thou art the man and thou art the woman"? And you've really felt this. You've known, as it were, what it is to feel the sentence of divine justice in your soul, and you've been brought to tremble before the majesty of heaven. The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down, ere my child die." We think of it then in a literal sense. I remember one morning some years ago, when one of our sons had been on a journey, and we received a message to say that there had been an accident, and a friend had seen these machines lying in the road. And of course my heart immediately went to my son. And oh, the feeling that came over me. Supposing he's been taken. And as one viewed this solemn matter, we could not feel there was any hope. You see, friends, what I'm trying to convey to you tonight is something that's very solemn. Because our children, our loved ones, others, we each have, but in whatever way we might think of it, there's this great and solemn matter, the value of a soul. And the value of a soul, who can begin to fathom it or understand it? Because it is, you see, the soul is that which lives forever. Oh, it lives forever. The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down, ere my child die." We think of it then as we think of death itself. But we think of it also concerning eternity and that state that will never, never end. Well, the Lord knows how we respond to all this. The Lord knows how any of us feel in this. But as we look upon our loved ones, as we consider these matters, and as we view them in their lives, surely it's our cry is, as it was with this nobleman, "Sir, come down ere my child die." What then must be wrought within the heart for this to be known? The Lord help me now to try and convey this to you. And I think of it like this. The cry here is, "Sir, come down ere my child die." But what we also need in this is that the Lord will fulfill this in the lives of sinners, and that he will say to them, "Come down." I think again of the dear mother who cried out today, "Son, come down." What a cry it was. The anguish, you could feel the anguish of her heart for her son. And so we need the Lord to do this in the hearts of sinners. Come now. We have this in the Word of God. We have it in more than one instance, but I think, as I do from time to time, I just think for a moment of Zacchaeus. "Sir, come down ere my child die." You see, the Lord had a purpose of grace towards Zacchaeus. And we do not know what the Lord's purposes are, only as he unfolds it. Again, I think of Sunday evening. There may be those of you here that have had a promise concerning a child. And if you have had a promise, you will know what it is to carry that promise. And that promise so often will be severely tested. You may have seen a son or a daughter to whom the Lord has given you some hope regarding them, and yet you may see them today. They may be as far from God as sheep can run. They may be right out in the world. And if you've had a promise concerning any one of them, you will know what it is at times to be brought very low on account of this. And your promise will be severely tested. You'll know what it is to walk in temptation with it. Did the Lord really give me this? And how you'll watch, as it were, in your life. You'll watch to see if there are any signs of the Lord fulfilling his word. You'll watch in these things. You'll wait before the Lord in these things. I was speaking to a mother recently, an aged mother, not one of our friends here, I feel free just to say this, but the exercise of an aged mother for a son, and her concern in communicating and trying, as it were, to speak to him in a way that she felt the Lord had laid in her heart. The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Well, only the Lord can do this. Dear friend, you know that this is true. If you're helped to think of your own case for a moment, what is it that has wrought a change in your heart? What is it that has brought you to chapel this evening? Surely you must say it's sovereign grace or sin abounding. You'll have to say it's the Lord that has wrought this for me. But then you see there's this concern for others. There may also be those here that are concerned for loved ones or others that you feel are in a false profession. And in one sense that is even worse. The Bible speaks of a false profession, and it says this, being twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You may have those that you feel are in a false profession. You see them, as it were, going on in it. And oh, the anguish, the exercise that you carry before the Lord in all this. And you'll say, "Sir, come down ere my child die. Oh, Lord, appear for me." Do, Lord, appear in this case. Well, just for a little while, we just seek to bring God's word before you. The Lord knew where Zacchaeus was in the sycamore tree. And that is an encouragement, isn't it, to think like this. Wherever our loved ones are this very evening, the Lord knows where they are. And friends, none of them are beyond the limits of his love. Now that is our mercy. And we hope to close with that beautiful hymn that comes in like this. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace. To change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Oh, are we looking for that day? Are we burdened for that day? Do we wait for it? Have you ever known what it is to have perhaps the Lord raise up hope in your heart, and you may have looked to see if your son or daughter would come into the house of God? You may have waited for them to come. And yet you haven't seen them yet. But friends, the issue is with the Lord. Now, thinking of Zacchaeus then for a moment. The Lord knew where he was. And the Lord knows where our loved ones are. He knows where they are this very evening. He knows what they're doing. And that is our mercy. The Lord knows. And when the Lord came to the place, and isn't this what we need to still pray for? Think of it, the Lord came to that sycamore tree. Zacchaeus had climbed up into it out of curiosity. But the Lord knew it was going to be that very sycamore tree. And friends, the Lord knows where it's going to be in our lives, as it were, or in the lives of others. The Lord knows where they will be. What did Jesus say to him? You see, it's the same words. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up. He looked up. We read this on Sunday morning, and I just turned to it. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You see, the wonder is the Lord is not confined to means or places, but he can reach the hearts of sinners wherever they are. Why, I'm sure there have been those called by grace in a public house, in a theatre, cinema, dance hall, whatever you might name, and if the Lord has a purpose of grace, he'll find them there. Sir, come down ere my child die. But this, I feel, is very wondrous language. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." Make haste and come down. What wondrous words these are. The Lord looked up and saw him. And friends, our Jesus is the same today. All power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. And I firmly believe this, that not one soul whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will ever be lost. They cannot be lost. And when the Lord's time does come, he will call them by his grace. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, For today I must abide at thy house. And then what do we read? And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Well, what a change was wrought in this man's heart. If we have known effectual calling in our poor hearts, we shall know that it wrought a change within us, as it wrought a change in the heart and life of Zacchaeus. You see, the Lord looked up, he saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. May the Lord just help me to try to convey what I feel in this. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, you see, there was this. Zacchaeus could stay in that tree no longer. And friends, when the Lord calls a poor sinner by his grace, they can stay, as it were, in the world no longer. They cannot stay in the things that they once loved any longer. I'm sure there are those here tonight who, in reflection, you will think of this. And no doubt in our earlier days we all had the things that we pursue. You may remember going to the cinema, the theatre, the dance hall, the football field, the cricket field, whatever it was. And yet, if the Lord has called you by his grace, he's brought you away from all that. You've had to give all this up. It may not have happened, as it were, in 5 minutes. But it has happened. And now these very things that once so attracted your heart, they mean nothing to you. And through the grace of God, you want no more to do with them. And now your cry is, Jesus, save me or I die. And so the words then tonight are these. Two words really, come down. The nobleman's cry. Sir, come down, ere my child die. Oh, it was as though he was saying to the Lord, Lord, do come. Are you saying that tonight in your heart regarding some poor sinner? Have you been praying for them today? Perhaps you've seen them, as it were, going from bad to worse. You've seen them going further and further into the world. They did come to chapel, but now they no longer come. And oh, the burden that you have for them. And so you know what it is to say, come down, ere my child die. Now, I must soon close. But if we try to think of this a little further, think of the dear woman that we've been reading of. The Lord found her. He must needs go through Samaria. You see, he had a purpose of grace to her. And the Lord must needs go through Samaria to find her. She had already had 5 husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. What a character she must have been. What a character she must have been. Friends, one thing that's with me, you see, yes, the very worst of sinners, who upon his grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners. They shall live beyond the sky. You see, none are too black or too vile or too far off if the Lord comes to them and he says to them, come down. Really, that is what he said to her, come down. He brought her to his feet. And then he revealed himself to her. And then we just also think for a moment of Saul of Tarsus. He thought that he was doing God's service. He was very religious, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He tells us this. And yet when the Lord met with him on the Damascus road, really he said to Saul of Tarsus, come down. And he did come down. He fell to the earth. He fell to the earth. You see, he came down. And this is what takes place in the lives of everyone whom the Lord meets with. He says to them, come down. And they do come down. And through his sovereign mercy and grace, he keeps them down, and he'll keep them down right through to the end. And they will then very feelingly say, why was I made to hear his voice? And enter whilst there's room, while thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. Lord, why? Why me? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Now, the Lord did hear his cry. Oh, I would feel thankful, though I may never be told, but I would feel thankful if any person went home from this service tonight with a little God-given hope that the Lord will appear for you. And that the day is coming when the Lord will call your son, your daughter, by his grace. In spite of your sins as parents, in spite of all the obstacles, and yet, you see, when the Lord does call by grace, nothing in this world can prevent it. They must and shall be born again. And then the Lord gave him this answer, and there I leave it. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Lord, before it's too late, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Oh, what a wonderful thing it would be if any of you should go home like this tonight. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Perhaps he will say to some poor trembling soul, thy son, thy daughter will live. The day will come when I will call them by my grace. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And so will you. You will believe if the Lord favours you, gives you faith in believing. You will believe that it will be so. You will believe. And then just finally, when he arrived home, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. Well, a last thought here. Who can tell whether in this very evening, somewhere, the Lord may call a poor sinner by his grace? Who can tell whether this very evening the Lord will do it, friend? That somewhere he will call a poor sinner by his grace this very evening. And I hope I say this rightly, but we could see them in chapel on Sunday if it was the Lord's will. You see, these things can happen. Oh, I think of the words that are spoken regarding Jesus. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. May the Lord deliver us from that awful sin. For who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious? Whenever the Lord gives to his people precious faith in believing, whatever his will is, he will honour the faith that he gives. Amen.
Help to conclude with hymn 76. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Hymn number 76.